Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Jake Gerhardt. Welcome, Jake. It's great to have you with me.
Good morning, Gloria. I'm so happy to be here.
Wonderful. As we so often do, we're going to start at the beginning, but the first thing I want to know is, how old are you?
I am currently 23 and a half years old. I'm actually 23 and 9 months almost, so I'm getting up there.
Where were you born? Where did life start for you?
My recollection of that is a little hazy, as you might imagine, but beyond reasonable doubt, I'm from Portland, Oregon. I was born here and I grew up here. I've pretty much lived here all my life, actually.
And you are one of how many siblings?
I'm one of two siblings, but we also have a third sibling. Her name is Sadie, and she is a black Labrador.
And where do you fit in the family?
I'm the oldest brother. I've got a younger brother, and then Sadie is obviously the youngest.
Sadie is obviously an important member of the family.
Certainly, yes. She knows it too.
Since you grew up in Portland, and we are in Portland at this moment, tell me what you enjoyed doing as a young child or as a early teen for fun growing up in Portland.
That's a really good question. Well, I got the opportunity to do a lot of things in nature when I was growing up here. So there were lots of sort of recreational camps that I would be sent to. I wouldn't really, you know, my mom was sort of the orchestrator of most of these things, but it was really great because I got to learn about all the birds that we have and all the nature that we've got around, and I've sort of grown to appreciate it without sort of really knowing it. So I think that is one of the big takeaways from me growing up in Portland. But I also like to do a lot of stuff that isn't related to Portland. Like for me, I was so into Legos. I would play with my Legos all the time. And yeah, I think that kind of is pretty much all I did other than going to school for most of my young life.
So when you were playing with your Legos, now, I know there's all different kinds of sets and there are pictures and things. Were you the kind of kid that was just experimenting and making things yourself, or would you be following a design? Talk about that a bit.
That's very interesting. I actually did both of those things. I would buy sort of kits that they had available, and I would also, I once found a way to design new sort of machines online with Legos, and then you could order them and they would ship them to you and you could build them. But as long as these Legos had to do with like constructing a city, so buildings, trains, cars, just things like that, I was so into that. And there were all sorts of things, as you probably know, like there were robotics and Batman and like all that other stuff. But I was not interested in that at all. I was just, if it had anything to do with cities and it, you know, I could look out my window and see some of those things outside, then I was all for it.
And were you able to make things that would say do things like move, other than cars and trucks, of course, but other kinds of creations that would actually do something?
I think a couple of times I did make some sort of robotic devices, like maybe like a drawbridge or a Ferris wheel, things like that. But the whole Lego area in my house as I was growing up was dominated by this train track. And I had three or four trains. It was actually my brother and I. We kind of worked together. He kind of did his own thing a little bit, but I was so into the trains and I would set up the trains along the hallway in the house. I didn't really ask permission, but I would just kind of do it everywhere. At one point, I even cut a hole in the wall between two of our rooms. So the Lego area and then the next room over into the guest bedroom. And so we had a tunnel of trains going into the next room and then doing a circle and coming back to where all the other Legos were. So that was a lot of fun.
What you don't know is how much I love trains. I am
really so
jealous. Oh my goodness.
That makes two of us.
Do you know where your love of trains or even building cities came from?
Not exactly. It definitely came from somewhere and it's still around because right now I've kind of been looking into sort of city planning and trying to figure out exactly what city planners do. And I've always just kind of been fascinated by the way that things work, sort of from a logistical standpoint in our current society. And so obviously trains in other countries as well play a big role for that. And passenger trains in Europe and Japan and high-speed rail, like those things are all fascinating to me. And so that's kind of where my career is headed. So I'm really excited for working with that more.
We're going to get to that momentarily. So where did you go to school? Let's just jump into high school. Where did you go to high school?
I went to actually both middle and high school at the International School of Beaverton. So that was, I believe, 7 years at a single school.
Is that a public school?
It is a public option school, yes. In the Beaverton School District, they've got 5, now 6 big high schools. And then they've also got these little specialized high schools. I'm not really super certain on how you get into that. I think you have to apply and then you have to kind of write a letter and say, I would really love to go to the school. And then if you're convincing enough, they'll accept you. And so there's like one for STEM, there's one for arts, it's called ACMA, and then there's an international oriented one. But you know, they're all just great schools. And so I think I was very happy with my high school experience and the ability to meet a lot of people who were kind of also, I guess, internationally minded, kind of like I've been taught growing up. So that was fun.
Was that your decision, your parents' decision? How did it happen that you ended up there?
Oh, it was my parents' decision. I really did not want to go there. I didn't know. I was probably one of the more stubborn people on the planet, especially, you know, for a good chunk of my childhood. And so I don't think I knew where I wanted to go. But yeah, I just really didn't want to go for some reason. And then I went there for a year and, you know, I loved it.
Were there also international students there, or was it mostly Americans or U.S. people?
Yeah, there were, on occasion, there were people from Japan. We had exchanges with a Japanese school. I actually don't think any of our students went there, but a lot of Japanese students would come through every now and then. So that was really interesting. But also, it was kind of my first introduction to sort of, so I grew up in sort of an upper middle class area, and I went to actually a private Montessori elementary school. So I had not really been exposed to a lot of different types of people that we have in the area. And so I made lots of Latino friends, for example, at the International School of Beaverton. It's in Aloha, Oregon, which is a very Latino area. And so I made so many great friends, and I didn't know anything about their culture before. And so I think it was something that's definitely, you know, influenced how I make my friends now and how I respect to an even greater extent having the ability to know people with different cultures.
Your parents made a wise decision.
Yeah, I think so.
So when you graduated from high school, did you have any idea what was coming next? Had there been something that kind of bubbled up during high school that was a specific interest other than what you already obviously were interested in? Or
kind of. I don't really remember like sort of choosing what I wanted to do. I just sort of remember being obsessed with cars and German automakers and stuff like that. And just kind of, I guess, vehicles in general and machines and just finding out how things work exactly. So it kind of wasn't a question. I just applied to different mechanical engineering programs all over the Pacific Northwest and some places elsewhere as well.
And you chose what?
I chose Oregon State University. And I was there for 5 years, and I just graduated in June.
At what point did you actually have to declare a major? Now, this is in Corvallis, Oregon, right?
Yes. I am not actually sure about that because I never questioned or changed my major. I applied to the mechanical engineering program, and then after that, I didn't really do anything because I just stayed there. I have a lot of friends, actually, who have gone in and out of majors and changed, but for whatever reason, I just stuck with it.
Talk a little bit about college life. Did you live in the dorms? Where did you live? What was...
Yeah, sure, of course. Well, the first year, I think they have everyone live in the dorms at Oregon State. And so that's what I did. And I lived with a stranger, so someone I didn't know before. I had a roommate from California. And I met a lot of people in the dorms who were a lot different than me, which was kind of cool. They were very... party-oriented and very social people. And I can be a social person sometimes. So that was fun, you know, to do that for a year. And then after that, I moved to an apartment by myself, which was also a really good experience. And then the year after that, I found some friends from high school and I moved in a house with them. So that was also a lot of fun, living off campus. And and then this last year, I also lived in another house with some German students who I had met my fourth year while I was in Germany studying there. So that was an awful lot of fun too.
It sounds like you've had sort of every possible experience in those 5 years.
Yeah, it's been really great. I think it's really sort of helped shape how I view everything because I've had all these different people around me and it's just been fantastic.
So if you were to describe yourself, would you say that you're more of an introvert than an extrovert? Where would you put yourself kind of on that scale?
Somewhere near introvert, probably. I don't think I used to be like this, but also, especially during that second year when I lived by myself, I think I kind of learned how to just sort of explore what I want to do alone. For example, I got into a lot of music that I might not have gotten into that year and did some activities that I wouldn't have done had there been a house full of people surrounding me, you know? So I think that was a really cool thing to discover. And, you know, I love talking to people, but in college, there are a lot of parties around that are happening or not happening or whatever. I attended some of them and they really weren't for me. But I love talking to people and I met a lot of people that way and that was fun. But the whole scene where there's a lot of people around, I'm just like, maybe I'll just go, you know, talk to my friends at home or something, have a little get together or something like that. So, yeah.
What kind of music were you listening to or discovering?
Let's see. This is a very complicated question for me. I don't even know where to begin. I got into music that was more sort of, so there's one album, most people probably don't know it. It's by Coldplay. It's called Ghost Stories. And it's a very mellow album. And I listened to that for that year. I sort of got into that. And I had been into more upbeat sort of, I guess you could call it emo goth music. Things like The Neighborhood. It's a band from California who I still love. And so I kind of got into more mellow music that year and sort of just a more mellow. I tried to explore different things for the first time in a while. And because you know, growing up, I had listened to probably four or five bands and almost nothing else. So those were, to name a few, Muse, U2, The Neighborhood. There's a couple others that I had on my iTunes. This is also sort of the time when streaming services started coming out. And so I sort of jumped into that. I was actually using my mom's account. So I said, oh, might as well, why not? So I started exploring a lot more things. And so that really opened up the door to me to sort of explore all these different things that are going on that I wasn't previously aware of.
Speaking of your mom, let's just get her name so we know how you're connected.
Yes, my mom is Lois Gearhart, and she's a great person. And she's got a great podcast. You can listen to it on the PMC website if you'd like.
Thank you. I just want to jump back to high school a little bit, just since we mentioned Portland Mennonite. So your connection with Portland Mennonite, I believe, was mostly during your high school years. Is that true?
That's correct. I was in MYF, and I was very comfortable with the people in MYF, and I made a lot of friends there. So that was a really great thing that I had during my high school time.
Now, I do want to talk about this fourth year of college. You
sure.
Went somewhere? Tell us how that happened, where you went.
Okay, so it began my freshman year of college. I had taken a German class my freshman year of college because I just sounded fun and it ended up being my favorite class. And my roommate at the time told me about this program, which is where you go to Germany and you study materials science for a year and then you come back to Oregon State for a year and finish your mechanical engineering degree. So it's a dual degree program. And he actually ended up not being a part of it, but I did. So that was kind of funny. One of my good friends was actually coincidentally also in the program. And so a lot of my friend group now kind of stems from that program. There are about 10 of us, 6 Americans and 4 Germans. And so we're kind of a group and we include other people who are in our major. And it's just a really good network of people to have become acquainted with.
So you went where?
I went to a town called Saarbrücken, Germany. It is in sort of southwestern Germany. It's on the border to France. And from my colleague Ben's window, he was another Oregon State student who was there in my apartment building, you could actually see France, the French forest across the river over there. So that was really cool. And you know what? Another thing, while I'm thinking about it, that you could see from his balcony was the train track, the high-speed rail line. And so every day, you know, at specific times, I knew all of them, there were high-speed trains, the TGV in France and the ICE from Germany, who would go through there and pass, along with a lot of other trains. And so it was just a really great experience to sort of see that in action, because I had always known about it, and I had always thought it was very intriguing to have public transport everywhere. But for the ability to use that, that was just a cool experience, and I just really enjoyed it overall.
So you actually got to ride those trains a lot?
Yeah, certainly. We were actually sort of coincidentally in the town that was on the high-speed line to Paris. And so you could take a train for 2 hours and be in Paris. And if you booked at the right time, which was like a month or two in advance, you could get it for $30. So I did that quite frequently. I actually went to Paris, I think, 6 times during the whole year. So I really took advantage of that, you could say.
Was that one way or round trip?
Let's see. I think it was just one way. It's still worth it. Yeah.
I think you also sort of answered another one of my questions. What were your living arrangements during that year?
Oh, that's a really great question. I sort of shared a kitchen, which was also our living space because we didn't really have a living room, with 5 other students. So in Germany, they call these WGs or WGs, which is Wohngemeinschaft. It just means that there's students living together, or sort of, I guess, young people. It's almost always young people living together and sharing a communal space. And so I lived there with 3 people from Italy for the first semester, and then my friend Ben. And then we also had, across the hall in our building, was another 6-person apartment, and that's where my friend Nicole lived. And there were some more Americans over there, and I believe there were people from the Czech Republic there as well. So it was really a great community.
What was the common language?
English. It was English, yeah, because, you know, for us Americans, we didn't really speak German that well. It was just more comfortable to speak English. And the Italians, there's actually a stereotype that Italians don't speak very good English, but those Italians actually spoke great English. They did have very thick accents, but that just added to the fun of all of it. So, yeah.
And then apparently there were some classes somewhere that you would attend?
Oh, yes, I almost forgot. So we actually did have classes that were in the materials science school there at the University of Saarland. And it was kind of funny because our first semester, we had 7 or 8 classes that we were taking. Most of them we were required to take. And then the second semester, which was from April until about July, we had 1 class that was required. And so that's when a lot of the traveling happened. But yeah, I loved the classes over there. We had classes such as steel and glass mechanics, ceramics, electronic properties of materials, just things like that. So they're pretty technical. And actually, all of our classes were in German. For most of the tests, we were allowed to write them in English, but we were required to know some German to be able to read the questions. So that was always a little bit of a challenge. But luckily, the system they've got over there is so that 50% is required to pass, and then that was just sort of a satisfactory on our transcript. So that was really great to have that opportunity and kind of make sure we did well enough. Yeah, but it was just such an eye-opening experience, and it was a huge challenge for most of us. And I kind of love challenges, especially after that. You know, it was so much fun.
So is it safe to say that most, if not all, of the professors were German?
Yes, I believe all the professors were German. We did have one advisor who was from Italy, but she spoke German and English. Yeah, but I think in academia over there, it's very, very common to speak English as a professor. And so if we had questions for them, they were usually happy to speak English with us. So that was always helpful.
So are you fluent in German now?
Kind of. So the street German, as far as that goes, ordering food, talking to people, asking where the bus goes, sort of those things, I'm really good at that because I've done that for a year. As far as reading the newspaper, I've been working on it because I want to potentially try to see if I can pursue a profession in Germany. So I'd love to pursue a profession in Germany. And I was thinking about that last month, I think, and said, oh, wow, I might have to do an interview in German. So since then, I've been reading the newspaper. And actually, I've got this in most of the apps, actually. I think you can sort of hold down the button on your phone or your iPad or whatever you've got, and it'll tell you what the word means. So that's really fantastic. And that's currently how I'm learning to be more fluent in German.
You said you went to Paris 6 or 7 or 8 times or whatever. Where else did you go while you were in Europe? Because the beauty of Europe is that the countries are right there, kind that's of. Right. And as you said, transportation is amazing.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I actually went to Berlin twice. I love Berlin. It's probably one of my favorite places. Right when we got there, all of us Americans took an intensive German language course, which was actually in a different city in central Germany. It's called Kassel. And I met some people there too. One of my good friends now, he's from Milan. And so I went to visit him in Milan. And then I also went to visit my other roommates in southern Italy. So that was a lot of fun. So I went to Italy a couple of different times. France, of course. I visited England and Ireland, which was very eye-opening. It's kind of funny, though. I think about this sometimes that, you know, we share a common language with them. But personally, I don't really know anyone from these areas. And so I'm very unfamiliar with sort of how the way of life goes on in England, for example. So that was very eye-opening. But in addition to that, I got the opportunity to go to Copenhagen in Denmark and Amsterdam a couple of times. And it's just so beautiful over there. I love architecture as well. And so that was a wonderful thing that I got to experience.
So you came back and you did your final year. And in the midst of that, is it safe to say that's when this crazy pandemic hit?
That's right. Well, actually in college, I had a great time with all my friends and stuff, but I really wasn't into lectures and classes. So I kind of found not having lectures as some sort of sigh of relief in some sense, because I was a little bit happier not needing to go listen to someone for an hour and a half. But yes, about halfway, I believe it was almost exactly halfway through the year is when we switched to online classes. And I was actually involved in a big project, a senior project where we built a race car, an electrified race car for a team. And that kind of got put on pause. And I was very grateful because it was a lot of work and it was a great learning experience, but it wasn't really my thing. So it was kind of funny that this whole thing happened. But yeah, it's a lot of my roommates were, especially the Germans, they really wanted to have a graduation and they really enjoyed going to lectures. So they were kind of bummed out, which is really too bad because, of course, I wanted them to have the best experience they could. But, you know, it was just a different experience. And I think that, you know, we're thankful that some of the year was normal and we still got through and we all graduated. So it's okay.
Did you stay in Corvallis after things started to kind of shut down, or did you come back to your mom's?
Yes, I had a nice cozy little red house down there. And so I stayed in there with all my roommates. We really liked each other for the most part. And so that was kind of a comfortable place to stay. And so I stayed down there for the rest of the year.
And there were some things that are online, I'm assuming, that there were still some lectures from time to time, but...
Yeah, I still had lectures. I think I had 2 of my lectures out of 3 that were online and they were scheduled. And so we would do a Zoom call. And that was fun. It was great to still have sort of a structured schedule. But some other things online were just sort of where you navigate to the page and then you watch it. And those didn't work so well for me. But I had fifth year senioritis. And I had senioritis since my sophomore year probably. So I was very happy that I didn't have to go anywhere. But yes, the classes were online to answer your question.
So did you have anything special for your graduation? I mean, you couldn't go through the big thing. Maybe it sounds like that wasn't a big issue for you. That wasn't something you'd been looking forward to specifically? Or
no, I mean, as I mentioned before, I don't love huge gatherings and all people, especially when the attention sort of from my family's perspective is all on me. If I got to choose, I would say, okay, no, we're not going to do this. And we didn't. So, you know, it was fine. We had a couple of gatherings, which were very nice, and meetings over Zoom and things like that. So, you know, it was good to do that. And I've got my diploma and I just feel good about it, even though we didn't have some sort of formal celebration. So, yeah.
Where are you living now?
I'm living in the attic of my mom's house here in Portland right now.
And rumor has it that there's a job starting soon. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so actually, I just got a job with UPS as a supervising engineer, which sounds like a big deal, but it's actually the title of someone who sits in a control room and watches the conveyor belts on TV screens inside of a warehouse. And actually, the shift begins somewhere early in the morning and ends around 10 a.m. And I think there's been a lot of trouble with me and my friends finding jobs, and there don't seem to be a lot of engineering jobs that are around for new graduates. So I'm really thankful to have found this. But a lot of these jobs are sort of being pushed back. For my friends, for example, two of my friends just applied to a job and it got moved back 3 months because of non-activity in the economy, I suppose. And mine has been pushed back now 3 weeks, and it's due to a computer error because they need to fix the hiring system, or they've had some overhaul that they need to figure out. So anyway, I haven't started yet, but I've been finding other ways to occupy myself. I've been reading books and actually recording some music and making some technical drawings, learning about city planning, things like that.
So this new job, will you be doing that remotely, or do you have to actually go into the warehouse or wherever?
I will be going into the warehouse whenever it starts, yes.
There are so many questions. I've got a few more here.
Excellent.
If you could just go anywhere and live, where might that be?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. Well, there's so many places I'd love to sort of stay for a while. One that's been coming and going lately is Japan. I've never been to Japan. I've been to China. I went with a school trip because I learned 7 years of Chinese Mandarin in high school. And so I went with one of my history teachers who taught history of Asia. So that was a great experience. But yeah, I think Japan's really fascinating for me. My sort of gateway into Japan was the bullet train and learning about their engineering culture there, which I'd love to learn more about. But also, yeah, I think I'd love to move to Europe. I really love Germany and all the things. I think mostly for me, it's sort of the charm that they have there. I love European bakeries and croissants and sort of delicacies like that, and French patisseries, which luckily we have a few great ones in Portland. But yeah, I sort of love that whole vibe that they've got going on over there. And of course, the old architecture is just breathtaking all the time to see that all over the place. And so I think that's a place I'm really comfortable in. So I'd love to go back there in the near future, I think.
In 10 years, where would you like to be and what would you like to be doing?
Wow, that's an excellent question, just like all the other ones. But this one I particularly like. For me, I am very interested in sustainable transportation. And so I would like to, I guess it doesn't really matter sort of what the exact situation is that I'm in, but I would love to be someone who is able to influence a transition into sustainable, renewable energy and transportation. And that's something that I'm really very passionate about right now. So right now I'm learning a lot about that, mostly on the school of YouTube. So that's really great. And I'm still enjoying it. And I can't wait to sort of see what opportunities are going to come next through this. So we were just talking about how I cut a hole in the wall to allow the Lego train railway to pass through multiple areas of my house when I was growing up. And I think it's kind of symbolic of, I don't think I usually ask to do these things. I think I sort of just find, you know, what's the easiest way of doing this? And then I just kind of do it and then see if anyone notices, you know, ask for forgiveness, as Gloria put it. But yeah, I think that's sort of my approach to finding out how to sort of transition everything to being sustainable. A lot of people know about Elon Musk and how, for example, no auto manufacturer has been created in the last 50 years or maybe even more. And then Tesla was created and now it's a huge company because nobody thought it could be done. But, you know, one person said, well, there's an easy way to do this and this is how we're going to do it and we'll see if it works. And it worked. It's always been my take on building things, and I love building things and figuring out new ways that have never been tried before. So, yeah.
Very creative.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there are many, many more stories that we could hear, but for the time being, thank you so much for giving us this glimpse into your life, Jake.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun doing it.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. We hope you discovered something new and feel more connected to your friends at Portland Mennonite. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.